God bless you today, beloved. May the presence of the Lord be yours as you seek Him, seek His face, get in His presence. He's the Prince of Peace. He brings perfect peace. Amen. He relieves us of all angst, all anxiety, all stress as we yield to Him, believe in Him, trust in Him, and follow Him. Praise the Lord. God bless you today in Jesus' name. I am so blown away at some of the things that I am seeing in the Word of God. I'm so shocked that I didn't see it before. It's amazing. I mean, I've intently, intensely, passionately read the Word through years and years. I think I've read through the Bible at least 15 to 20 times. And that's not including, you know, the many, many hours of studying and breaking down things. And I've read this particular scripture, I don't know how many times, and I never really saw exactly what Jesus said. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You will, now listen to this, this is where I didn't catch it. You will hate one and love the other. You will. That's what he said. You will hate one and you will love the other. And then he says the two that he's talking about. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, I heard some false doctrine that really got into my mind and kept me from seeing what this scripture actually says. My pastor years ago said that mammon was a false god that the heathen worshipped. And that was that, my friend, that is the most false thing that you could ever hear. And it totally took away what the actual word says. If you look up the word mammon in the Greek there, it means wealth. It's not a false god. It's very simply exactly what Jesus was talking about. You cannot serve God and wealth. Now watch this. Jesus said very plainly, you will hate one and you will love the other. And I had to ask myself a question. Which one do I hate? And man, you talk about a confrontation in the spirit to realize what my life is and to understand why I need His. Why do we need His life? He's the only life that truly loves God. Now listen, do you hate God or do you hate wealth? Almost no Christian, I mean, somebody might in some way, oh yeah, I hate wealth. But none of us hate wealth. We don't hate it. But Jesus did the whole time He was here. He didn't seek anything. He didn't try to get it. He actually called it filthy. And whenever He said this to, He was saying this to Pharisees who were the teachers, man. They were the preachers. They were the fasting ones and the praying ones and the ones that studied the Word. And when He said it, He said, you will hate one and love the other. You will. It's not, there's no gray area there. You either hate God or you hate wealth. And you can look at this scripture, friend, and the reason I didn't see it is because of the lie that was in my mind that mammon was some kind of false god. Of course, I hate false gods, and so I could throw that in there. But if you read the context, no, he's not talking about worshiping an idol. He's simply talking about money. He's talking about the world's monetary system. He's talking about earthly, worldly wealth. Now, this is amazing, man. When you start thinking of the prosperity message, oh my God, if they would just believe this one scripture, it destroys all of that stuff that tries to influence us to want and go after and sow seeds so that we can get earthly and worldly wealth. Now, this was so strange what Jesus said. You're going to hate one or you'll hate the other is what He's saying. You will love one or you will love the other, not both. And hate is a strong word. Jesus said you will and then he reemphasizes it in case we thought, well, maybe He didn't really mean that. He reemphasizes it. He says you will despise one and you will cling to the other. And there's no gray area again. So I ask, and the Holy Spirit asks, which one do you despise? And I'm thinking, neither one. You know, I don't despise wealth. And that's the problem. So the Pharisees are standing there, and they loved wealth. And they began to actually make sarcastic comments about what he was saying. This is what we do, human beings. When you hear truth that offends you, you use sarcasm. And they begin to make sarcastic comments about what Jesus was saying because they were covetous. They wanted more stuff. They loved wealth. And Jesus looks at them, and this is what he says to their sarcasm. He said, "You guys are masters." Now, these were the preachers. These were the speakers. These were the teachers. He said, "You guys are masters at justifying yourselves in the eyes of men." In other words, you know how to get up and manipulate the truth to justify your love for earthly wealth. You know how to manipulate the truth so that your audience will think that you are good. You are masters at justifying your own love for wealth, your own iniquity, is what he said. And then Jesus says, what men hold in high esteem, what men value, talking about wealth and talking about prosperity and talking about gaining the things of this world, what men hold in high esteem, God sees as disgusting. Oh my goodness, this is unbelievable when you really believe the word of God. This is why Jesus didn't want, pursue, seek after money. He called it filthy lucre. Now we need to be very clear, we are in this world, but we are not of it. Jesus used the monetary system of the world. And what's interesting is that he didn't handle money. He didn't touch it. You know who handled the money for Jesus? Judas Iscariot. Oh my God. Jesus gave the money bag to Judas. Jesus knew all along who Judas was. Jesus knew all along what Judas loved and what Judas was all about. And if you really understand Judas's sin and his nature, it was covetousness. He was even taking money out of the bag, the Bible said. He was stealing money. He was taking money and using it for himself out of their ministry income. And Judas loved money. He even betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver because he loved money. So Jesus takes the money bag. He despised wealth. He despised the monetary system of the world. And he gave it to Judas. Now, this is so amazing because all these people claiming we're the children of Abraham, so we're going to get rich and we're going to have this and we're going to have, they are so deeply deceived. The old covenant and that picture was a earthly picture of a heavenly thing. When Jesus came, his kingdom was not of this world. The life of God, let's just focus on this for a second. Jesus is the only life that pleases the Father. When he came down, he said, no man has entered into heaven except for the one that came down from. He's the only one that can enter there. He's the only life that can be there. Jesus says, if you don't eat of me and drink of me, you don't have any life in you. This is not who you are. This is not your nature. None of us hate wealth. None of us. We all want to prosper. We all want to be successful. Why? Because we don't realize how temporary and decaying everything here is. So we're focused on temporal things, but we wrangle it and we justify it and we twist God's word to make it say what we want it to say. Now, and I know every single person that preaches prosperity and always talking about, you know, getting wealthy and things getting better, every single one of them will talk about being the children of Abraham, but they don't want to be like Jesus. They want to be like Abraham. They want to have a lot of cows and land and houses and all that, but they don't want to be like Jesus, who didn't have a place to lay his head. They don't want to be like the life of God, who didn't want anything here. They don't want to be like the life of God, who said, you either hate money or you hate God. There's no, listen, friend, I'm not putting words in his mouth. Go read it. You either hate money or you hate God. You either love money or you love God. You cannot have both. You either despise wealth, or you despise God. If you don't despise wealth, then you automatically despise God. Now, I know even people listening to this may say, oh my God, I don't despise God. That doesn't even make sense. Because we have convinced ourselves and we've justified our hatred for God by deceiving our own selves. There is not a single Adam who does not hate God. It's very clear in the Bible. Our flesh is enmity against God. It cannot subject itself to God. Our natural man hates God. I thought I loved God for many, many years. And sin kept getting me and different things kept happening and frustrations kept going on. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? And I had to find out I didn't love God. I loved my idea of who God is. I loved my thoughts about God. I loved religion. It got me free from all kinds of things and made my life happier for a little while. And then I got miserable because the Holy Spirit was trying to show me I didn't love God. And that's why I had to die. He wasn't telling me you don't love God and you need to love God. Now you better love God. No, that's the law. The law says you must love God. Think about this. Many Christians now are preaching that the gospel is love God and love others. And none of them love God. None of them love God at all. It's amazing. But they've deceived themselves. Jesus did not say the gospel is love God or love people. He said that is the law, the greatest law. It sums up the law of God. And the law of God came to expose our iniquity. It came to show us that none of us are righteous, that none of us love God, that all of us hate Him, that all of us are His enemies. The reason we don't think we hate Him is because we don't really know Him. So He says here to mankind, you either hate God or you hate wealth. Which one is it? You either love God or you love wealth. You cannot have any mixture of the two. And nobody under that kind of word can say that they're good. Nobody can say that they qualify. Not a single one of us. You either hate wealth or you hate God. Man, what a confrontation. What a confrontation. Oh my goodness. I'm confronted with it. That yesterday, meditating on this all day, I'm confronted with this. Oh my goodness, I do hate God. My natural man doesn't love God at all. But the more I learn to hate my own life, I don't want the things of this world. They are full of misery and trouble. All I want is the presence of the Lord, because the Holy Spirit shows over and over and over as you walk with Him the truth. Until you're done with you, and then you start laying hold of His life. You turn off all the crap of the world. You come out of the world and stop touching what's unclean. And you lay hold of the life of Jesus. Not because the law says to do it, but because the Holy Spirit shows you every time you put your hand in the fire, you're going to get burned. I asked my wife last night, I said, why do people not will anybody just put their hand in a fire? And she said, no. I said, well, maybe a kid might, you know, because they've never done it before. But once they do it one time, they'll never do it again. And you know what the Lord told me? Like 3 or 4 hours later, I was sitting there meditating in the Word. And the Lord said, there are many people that keep putting their hand in the fire because of deception. They have been taught things that have deceived them. And every time they put their hand in, it gets burned. But they're so deceived that they keep doing it. They keep doing it. This is what deception does. Deception causes you to keep doing something foolish, to keep doing something that's going to burn you. And as the Holy Spirit shows the truth, you quit putting your hand in the fire. Not because God says, don't put your hand in the fire. Because when you put your hand in the fire, it burns. Man, you don't want to do that again. No rational human being who's not in some kind of deep deception will keep putting their hand in a fire. And so the Holy Spirit wants to show us the truth about the world. It came from Satan. He is the god of this world. He's the god of its monetary system. Even the monetary system is directly from Satan. I will close with this and contrast the monetary system of Satan with the kingdom of God. Now watch this. This is beautiful. In the book of Acts, the ones who had been with Jesus, They came together, the first church, and the Bible said, none of them considered their possessions as their own. And every one of them gave to anyone among them who had need. And they went and sold any of the stuff that they had. I'm sure they didn't sell their house and live on the street, but they were selling any of the possessions that they were gathering, the extra stuff, the stuff they really didn't need. And they were selling this worldly stuff that they were trying to amass and trying to gather. They began to sell it, and they used it to help the needy and help the poor among them. This is the kingdom of God. It wasn't like the monetary system. Now watch, the monetary system is based on independence, it's based on self-centeredness, and it's based on greed. You would never need money in the world if every person used their abilities and their talents and their skills to bless other people. You see, we all go to work and we do a job that we all need done. But we have to pay the person to do the job, because when they go do the job, how is their family going to be taken care of? How is their life going to be taken care of? In the kingdom of God, every person is using their abilities, their skills, and their talents to take care of each other. So there's never a need. There's no money. There's no monetary system. You don't have to pay somebody for something because they don't need money. They have everybody else taking care of them while they're taking care of everybody else. It's an amazing system in the kingdom of God. So God's thoughts are so much higher than ours. And he looks down here at this monetary system, and he looks down here seeing us wanting wealth, and it's disgusting. And so Jesus comes, and to the people of God, to the people of God, he comes and says, listen, you either hate wealth or you hate God. There's no in between. There's no in between. And friend, every single human being is under condemnation with that declaration. And then what is the answer? That's why Peter and them was like, then who then can be saved when Jesus is talking about stuff like this? Who can be saved? My goodness, what's the answer? Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Eat of me and drink of me, or you don't have any life in you. You don't have anything in you that is valuable. You don't have anything in you that is acceptable to God unless you eat of me and you drink of me. My goodness, the Word of God is unbelievably amazing and powerful, and we can't even see what it's saying because we've been so deluded with all kinds of false teaching. My God, if you're under any false teaching, run. Run in Jesus' name. Get in the Word of God. Don't be deceived. Don't die even liking wealth. Don't die wanting more. Get in the Word, get in the presence of God until he delivers you from you and you learn how to believe what he accomplished. This is not a law. God is not demanding that you stop loving wealth. You can't. There's no way you can do that. It's impossible. That's why you need the life of God, and that's why you had to die. And you did die. I didn't say you have to die. I said that's why you had to die. Had, past tense. You had to be crucified. And the only salvation for you and for I is to believe that we died with him, to confess that we died with him, to look to him and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth until we are free from ourselves and we are walking in the life of Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness, this is marvelous. God bless you today, friend, in Jesus' name.